All right, if you take your Bibles, please, let's go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 20, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 20. Anybody need one of those little dealy things? You got it? Okay. You don't need to look at it right now. We'll be looking at it in a minute, okay? But I would like you to look at John chapter 20, all right? John chapter 20 and verse 19 is where we're going to start. Of course, this is the time of year we celebrate that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. Remember, after he got up from the dead, he walked around on this earth in his glorified body for 40 days and 40 nights. And then was the great time of the ascension. And then after that, of course, 10 days later was the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost. And here's something talking about the day that right after Jesus Christ got up from the dead. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's what we call Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Somehow he just showed up. And said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, why do you think he showed them his hands and his side? Because they had holes in them. They had holes in them from being crucified. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Isn't that kind of cool? Must have been what they needed to hear. Peace. Peace, guys. We're going to realize here soon, these disciples really didn't believe Jesus when he said he was going to get up from the dead. They were a little bit shocked. For him to show up there in the midst and say, peace, and then to say it again, peace, what a comfort that must have been to them. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so, send I you. Kind of interesting. Here are these guys. We just read that they were behind closed doors because they were afraid of whom? Jesus. The Jews, right? We read that in verse 19, is it? Verse 19. And here Jesus shows up and he says, dudes, I'm going to send you. Wow, that's some vision, isn't it? Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Or... you see the word them is in italics. It literally should say he breathed in. He breathed in and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He was teaching them about something that was going to come pretty soon. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, this is what he voiced. All of them thought it, but he's the one who said it. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will what?
Not believe.
I will not believe. Well, Jesus was kind enough not to ask those other guys. He just showed up and he told them, look, here I am, guys. It is I, the one who was crucified, who is now raised from the dead. But Thomas, he said, I'm not going to believe until I see it, till I feel it. Well, that's pretty much the way people are very often, isn't it? Yeah. Seeing is believing. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
According to God, though, believing comes first, and then you're going to see the things of God. We're going to see that here. Thomas said, unless I see, unless I feel, he says, I will not believe. Meaning that believing is something that's under the control of somebody's mind. You can decide to believe or not to believe. It's not like foisted on you. Like Michelle, she was going to believe, but Erica wasn't. Not true. Every one of us decides what we're going to believe. Thomas had a few conditions. Let's go verse 26. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and this time Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, what?
Peace.
Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. I can't imagine that felt very good, honestly. And be not what?
Faithless.
But what?
Believing.
Be not faithless, you know, unbelieving, but be what?
Believing.
He told him to believe. He says, look, you can do this, Thomas. You can believe. And verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, he is all excited, my Lord and my God. In this case, Jesus Christ kind of catered to Thomas's conditions, right? He said, go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead. Stick your hand in there. Feel these prints in my hands. How kind that was of Jesus Christ, I think. Let's go to Matthew 27. We're going to be back to John 20, by the way. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. I want to show you some other people who determined what they were going to believe. Matthew 27. This is just after Jesus Christ was on the cross. And look at verse 39. 27, 39. And they that passed by reviled him. What does reviled mean? Yeah, they're like wagging their heads going, shh. Maybe they're going, you know, like people do. Like, oh, Jesus, here you are. You thought you were so great. Well, that's what it says here. Look, wagging their heads, verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Because that's what Jesus said, right? He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it. Of course, we know it was referring to himself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They quoted something Jesus had said, but they didn't believe it. Look at verse 41. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders. These are all the religious leaders, okay? The dudes that everybody looked up to. Verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will what? We will believe him. Their condition for believing, they said, if he would come down off the cross. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Good Lord. What horrible accusations against Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ was doing the will of God, don't we? We know spiritually what was going on. We have the advantage of living on this end of Pentecost and the scriptures being written. We know that he was fulfilling the word of God. That's what he was doing. Yet these people didn't realize that. And by their senses, they thought, well, you know, if this guy's so great, he should just be able to jump off that cross. And they determined the conditions of believing. Back to John chapter 20. It's clear that they didn't understand what was going on spiritually, even though they saw, they were trusting their senses. They were not even drawing upon the word of God that had already been revealed about the Messiah. They didn't, right? Anybody read Isaiah? There's an awful lot in there about Jesus Christ and what he was going to endure. Yet, apparently, they just didn't think that he was that Messiah, or they just forgot the word completely. But God had revealed it, and God was doing something spiritually, and they just didn't realize it. So with their eyes, they saw something, and that's what they decided to believe. Now go to verse 29 of John 20. John 20, verse 29. Remember, they're in this room again. Okay, Thomas is with them. Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they, you know, happy. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now that's talking about us today. Any of you see Jesus? I saw him on a taco once. You know, they had That name shows up a lot on the side of landscaping trucks, right? But I know it's Jesus, I know. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may what?
Believe.
Believe. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. God gave us his word for us to believe. Now, we're going to go to Habakkuk. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2. Okay, don't look at me that way. All right, so go to the end of, go to Matthew and just keep going left a little bit. All right, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I mentioned this first the other night. I thought we'd look it up today. All right, it's worth it. Verse 2, Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, you know, that tables, what people could read, that they may run that readeth it. Write the vision and make it plain. We just read in John that he had his word written so that you might what? Believe, that you might believe. Here he told Habakkuk this vision. He said, I want you to write it so that those could run that read it. You do something with the word of God. Psalms, 12th Psalm, one of my favorite verses here, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure words, right? These are the words of the Lord. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And most of you have heard me say it over and over again. There's a figure of speech in this verse. It's called ellipsis. You know, like those three dots that they use on websites? That means something's missing. And the words missing here are the words. This is the way it would read without the ellipsis. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, the words of earth purified seven times. God committed his thoughts to words of earth, words that we use every day. The word day, we already read that once in the Bible. That's a word that we use, right? It's a word of earth. Anybody not know what the word day means? Right? We know what the word day means, right? God used that word, and he used a lot of other words. But these words, God says, he purified. He purified them seven times, which, as we know, is as many times as you can purify silver before it's considered pure. He purified the words that we use every day to do what? To make his word. That's what we have as his word. Now, I gave you those little, what did I do with mine? Oh, here it is. These little freaky things here, okay? Yeah. I'm going to give you 30 seconds with your senses to figure out what this is. Okay, go. Thank you, Michael.
Future of QR codes.
Anybody get it? All right, time's up. How did your senses do? Okay, later I'll tell you what it is, all right? But just put it away for now, please. Just put it away for now. Okay, it's not going to hurt you. I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1. Our senses are not always so reliable. You may have noticed. Classic example that I've heard that just makes so much sense to me is railroad tracks. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but actually, you can do that here in Atlanta. You can look at those railroad tracks because some places they're straight enough. And you look down and, man, you swear that way down there, those tracks come together, right? Our senses say that these tracks somehow converge way down the line. But do they?
No.
Well, that'd be a pretty rough run for that train, wouldn't it, if they did? They don't. So you know how your senses can deceive, right? We all know that. But somehow, people seem to still trust their senses more than the words of God. And look at this that's written in Peter. It is incredible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16. Now, Peter, this is the same Peter that was in that room with Jesus Christ, all right? When Jesus showed himself to them and said, peace, this is that same Peter that wrote this. Of course, God's the one who told them what to write. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was one of the guys who actually even observed Jesus Christ when he had, what's that thing? Transfigured. When he was transfigured, remember that on the Mount? And Peter said, let's build altars, and God interrupted him and had another idea. But see, he was one of the guys that was an eyewitness. Today in a court, the thing that stands is eyewitnesses. You call the next witness to the stand, right? And they get up there and says, I saw Kerry stab that cockroach. They get up there and they say, because it's an eyewitness. I saw it. I trust my own eyes. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and we were eyewitnesses. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He doesn't mention that God was interrupting his idea when he said it. Verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Actually, this last verse, in your hearts, is in the wrong place in King James. And that's why it's such a weird sounding verse. Let me give you a better translation. Furthermore, we have a more steadfast prophetic word, to which you do well to give attention in your hearts, as you would to a lamp shining in a dismal place until the day dawns and the morning star rises. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. He says a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? Than that eyewitness account. And he was there. He was there. But he said this word, it's a more sure word of prophecy. Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they that haven't seen, yet they believe. We've been given his word so that we can believe. And in John later, it said, these things are written that you may believe. God gave us his word. His word is all that we need to believe. My senses might possibly line up with what I believe from God's word at times, but very often my senses are somewhere else, because my senses can't register what God is doing spiritually today. And God is doing. God's doing. We believe God's word. We have the truth. And it's more sure than even what our senses can observe. Let's go down to verse 20. Knowing this. Look at the context of this verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You know, Moses didn't decide to write the word of God. Well, it's a nice day today. I think I'll write the word of God. That's not what happened. God said, this is what you write. God told them what to write. Didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God said, Mo, write. He said, Habakkuk, write. And those guys did. Let's go to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 1. So what we have is a word, God's word. And God's word is more reliable than what you see. And you guys know it. You have believed God's word against what your senses told you, and you saw that word of God come to pass. So have I, over and over and over and over again. Because that's the way God's word is. God gave us his word. That's what we need in this life. It may not line up with our senses, but I'll tell you what, our senses need to get in line, because God's word is what's truth. Those railroad tracks, they don't converge. They don't converge. And you know that, right? So in this case, you know not to trust your senses. Well, how's about when we go to God's word? How's about we say, all right, God, I'm going to trust your word over my senses. And many of you and I know it because I've been with you, have seen by your experience even the word of God be true, even though it contradicts your senses. How awesome is that? That's the more sure word of prophecy. You want a seat? Or do you have to? Yeah, go ahead. If you want.
I was
easing out of charge. That's right. I won't tell them that you escaped. First Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 15, please. First Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It says, this is a faithful saying. Literally in the Greek, it says, the word is faithful. The word is faithful. What does faithful mean? What do we, when we say faithful today, what do we mean?
Something to be believed.
Something to be believed? You said trustworthy, Michael? Exactly. What's another word?
Consistent.
Consistent? Reliable? All right. God's word is reliable. Reliable! God's word is reliable. God's word is to be believed. And it says it a couple of other times in Timothy. We're not going to read them, but you might want to write it down if you're taking notes. 4:9 and 2 Timothy 2:11 says the same thing. God's word is faithful. The word is faithful. Now, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, though, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So what have we seen? We have seen that even an eyewitness is nothing compared to the true testimony of God's word that we've been given. And it's that word that Peter also told us was the word that God gave to holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's that word that God told Habakkuk, write it down so he may run that readeth it. We have a better testimony than what our senses even tell us. And that's kind of good because we recognize how our senses aren't always so on top of things. I told you 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 13. 2:13. If we believe not, who determines if you believe or not? You do, right? You and I do. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. So whether we believe or not, God's not changing. Anyone know a verse about that? Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I what?
Change not.
I change not. God doesn't. So he gives us his word, bam, it's going to happen. That's simple. But if you don't believe, yet look, he still abides faithful. He cannot deny himself, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what?
The word of truth.
The word of truth. Do you see the context of that verse? How cool is that? People have all these ideas, these profane and vain babblings, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. And here it says, what do we do? Study. We want to know that word of God so that we can apply that word of God no matter what our senses tell us, because he is faithful. He is faithful and he cannot deny himself. That's way better than what our senses tell us. So God says, you're healed, you're what? Well, so what? My stupid mind doesn't understand that yet. So what? My hand still hurts. If God says I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm not saying I deny that my hand hurts. That would just be stupidity, wouldn't it? But does God say I'm healed? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does he say I'm saved? Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Should I worry? Honestly, no. I can trust his word above any of my senses. Titus chapter 1. So in Timothy, it's the next book, Titus. Titus 1 and verse 9. Titus 1:9. Holding fast, grab onto it. Holding fast to what? The faithful word. Holding fast the faithful word. Look, they didn't understand when Jesus was on the cross. They thought he was a loser. I told you a few weeks ago about that first time I ever read the Bible, didn't I? Matthew. Ninth grade, first time I ever read the Bible, even though I went to religious school all my life. Ninth grade, I finally had a Bible, and read it, and they told me to read the Gospel of Matthew and make a poster out of my favorite verse, right? That was our job in our religion class. And I read through Matthew, and I was pissed off at Jesus because people did these things to him, and he didn't do anything about it. And I was like Thomas. I didn't understand what was going on. I was like those other dudes that, you know, were wagging their heads because I didn't understand. But Jesus Christ was fulfilling God's word. He was. And the senses didn't realize it. Well, these apostles and these disciples realized it a bit later, didn't they? So you know what? Your senses might catch up. But if they don't, so what? We have a more sure word of prophecy. And God is faithful, and his word is faithful. So whether our senses catch on or not doesn't really matter. That word is true, and we can run when we read it. Matthew chapter 5. So I made a poster of that verse that I liked. That one that said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? I was also surprised and amazed at how powerful Jesus Christ was. But it pissed me off that he didn't, you know, use it. I didn't understand. I just was stupid. I didn't understand. But now I understand at least a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not this, that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Hallelujah. I am not come to destroy, but to do what?
Fulfill.
Fulfill. Wasn't that what Jesus was doing when he was hanging on the cross? And they're wagging their heads and they're saying, if you are the Son of God, come on down off of that thing. But no, he was fulfilling the word of God. Well, people might look at your life, Carrie, and say, what in the hell is she doing? Hell's in the Bible, okay? That word, I can show it to you. What in the whatever is she doing? Because they don't understand. But she's doing the word of God. And maybe they'll catch on. Maybe not. But you know what? If we do the word of God, it's faithful. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You know what a jot is? It's the yod, yeah, all you Hebrew fans. It's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, like our letter I. You know, we put the little dot on top of it. That's the yod, which is this jot. You know what a tittle is? A tittle is a little ornament that they put on the Hebrew letters. It did two things. It made it beautiful, but it also kind of helped to distinguish that word from similar words, right? He's saying till that little tiniest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, or a little ornament on one of the letters, not one of those will pass. The earth could pass away that everybody thinks is so certain and so sure. But not even one little ornament on a letter of my word is going to pass away till all be fulfilled. That's the word of God that's faithful. So look, you can trust in your senses. You're going to end up converging like those railroad tracks. You could trust in God's word. His word's faithful. And I want to close in Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark. Till all be fulfilled. Jesus Christ was fulfilling the word of God. And everybody didn't understand it. Even his disciples didn't understand it. When I read the Bible, the only one that is clear to me that really believed that Jesus was going to get up from the dead was Joseph of Arimathea. All the others, they said they believed, but very clear that they didn't, right? They were shocked. They were amazed. They said, where did you take the Lord? Jesus was fulfilling the word of God, and what happened? The word of God was fulfilled. And that's that same word that we have that's faithful. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Once we have the word of God, our responsibility is simply believe. That's the only choice you need to make when you have the accurate word of God. Am I going to believe it or not? Your choice. And it totally is your choice. Unfortunately, God gave us free will. We can be good with it or we could go the other direction, right?
Yeah.
But we can decide. He said to that dude, he said, look, I'm going to take care of this. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. And you know what? Every one of us has the capacity to believe. And when we do, God's word comes to pass. What a thrill. How awesome it is. I've thought many times, I sure would have liked to have been there when Jesus did that transfiguration trip. Wouldn't that have been kind of cool?
Yeah.
You know, or when he raised Lazarus from the dead. It would have been great to be there, to be an eyewitness of that stuff. But we have a more sure word of prophecy today with this word of God that he's written, even in my $1 Bible. Mm-hmm. Here it is written, and we have it, and we can believe it. And when we do, bam, the word of God comes to pass. What a privilege we have. The word is faithful.